We're going to go in the Word tonight to James 2. James 2 for a minute. What? They give me a hard time because of the books that I like in this Bible. You know what's funny? I have a funny story, okay? I was, you know, something, all right, we make fun of people sometimes for reading their Bible this way, where you just kind of flip it open and see what you land on. Some people make fun of people for that sort of thing. If that's how you read your Bible, I'm not going to make fun of you. Instead, you know, something I've been doing, and I would just encourage you, all right? Reading plans are good. They can be great to give you some direction. But if you don't know where to go in the Bible, ask God. I know, that seems way obvious. But for the longest time, I was just kind of like, oh, well, I should probably pick something and try and... And then I just started realizing, you know what? God, you're so good. You're so able to give us what we need when we need it. You know, and some of this is actually God's timing with the word in your life. So you know how you can read something 5 times, and the 5th time you read it, it just sounds different. Or you're in a place where you're able to receive it in a way that you never were able to before. And so God, by the Holy Spirit, he's the one that leads us into truth. And one of the things he does in that is connects our life with what we need to hear when we need to hear it. He's really good at that. And so I just encourage you, open up your Bible, or maybe even before you open it, if you don't know where to go, just say, God, where do you want me to be today? And so I've started to do that. And, you know, without fail, the Lord will speak into it. You know how I know the difference between when it's him or when it's me? When it's me, that passage and that chapter isn't there. James 7, you know, for example. It's not in your Bible. Okay, Lord, that was me. Okay. So anyway, I heard James 2 this past week, and I said, God, I really don't want to read James. We were there a while ago, and I'm kind of want to be on to something new. But I felt like he was saying, I want you to go there. And I was like, well, okay, fine. So I went to James 2. So that's how I ended up in James. You can thank him for that, all right? So I want to read this tonight. For those of you who don't know, we've been going through a series on what it is to have an inheritance in the family of God. What it is to have received of God an irrevocable gift. What it is to have been brought into his family, and now, because we're in the family of God, to have been given something from God because of the death of Jesus. That's what inheritance is. He didn't have his nap today. Pray for my little man. He needs to take a nap. In Jesus' name, rest. If you haven't caught up to speed thus far where we're at, I would encourage you to go online, listen to those messages. But just so you know, we talked about the very first thing that we've inherited because of Jesus is we've actually inherited a family. We've been brought into a family now, and so God has given us the gift of his family and a place in that family. That's actually, that's fundamental to our inheritance. Our inheritance, first and foremost and fundamentally, isn't a possession, it's a person. We've inherited the family of God and a place in that family and the ability to know him. And last week we talked about how central to knowing him is that God has given us the gift of his Spirit. We've inherited the Spirit of God. It says that the Spirit of God in Ephesians 1 says the Spirit is our deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance. The Spirit of God in your life is the down payment of what Jesus bought for you, earned for you. Your inheritance, you don't have to wait for it till you get to heaven. It begins now, because it actually begins on the death of Jesus. Are you with me? And it starts with the Holy Spirit. And actually, the Holy Spirit is the way that we get to know the family of God. It's the way that we get to know what the Father is like. It's the way that we get to know what Jesus is like. It's the way that we even get to know each other. better. So praise God for the Holy Spirit. I want to share tonight really what from there is sort of like a wide open field of our inheritance. Because do you know we have riches we've inherited? We've inherited riches. So we probably can't cover all that we've inherited because of Jesus. But I want to talk about the beginnings of where from there. This wide open field in James 2, this is what it says in verse 5. And there's some context here that I'll try to explain in a minute. But go with me to James 2, 5. Are you there? Hey, we're there. It says, listen, my dear brothers and sisters. He's talking to the family of God. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith? Say, rich in faith. Rich in faith. See, I told you this series was about being rich. Rich in faith to inherit the kingdom that he promised those who love him. Now, this is where I got excited, you know. I didn't remember this was in the book of James, and here we are talking about inheritance. And James goes on to say here that it's the poor in the eyes of the world who God has chosen to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him. Wow. So that's what I want to talk about a little bit tonight. We've inherited not only a family, not only the Spirit of God in us to guide us and direct us, but we've inherited a kingdom. Now, that word is so out there, isn't it? Kingdom. We're not in a monarchy here, so it's a little distant maybe for us. We've inherited a kingdom. What does that mean? What does that mean that we've inherited a kingdom? What I want to say is that, you know, some of us, we grew up believing that we inherited some rules and regulations. That the Bible was about giving us some rules and regulations to follow until we got to heaven. So we're trying our best to be good until we went to go see him, because he was going to, you know, eventually check up on us at the last day. And so how'd it go? How was your... you know, like a behavior report card. I didn't never do well with those. But guess what? The good news is that's not what this is about. Amen. It's not about a bunch of rules and regulations for you to follow them. It's about a kingdom that you've been brought into. And that kingdom is actually about a new reality, a new way of seeing the world around you. It's about a new way of thinking. It's about having your mind actually completely changed in the way that you think. And thus, your life as a result of that being different. There is change that is meant to occur when you enter into the kingdom of God. But it starts actually with your mind. It starts with your thinking. It starts with your heart. It starts with actually you receiving a new reality, which is called the kingdom of God. So just think about it this way. We've been invited into this family, and the kingdom that we've inherited, it's actually God's desire, his desire for how the world ought to be. And so, actually, when Jesus, he prays this prayer, he teaches us to pray this prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's God teaching us to pray for God's desire and his design to make its way to this earth, to become reality here. You've inherited a kingdom, which means actually you've inherited some responsibility. How many of you love that word? Say responsibility. Some of you are getting really nervous right now. You say, you know, I thought I left responsibility behind when I went to college. No, you didn't. And you're slowly finding that out, right? Eventually, there won't be Meyerhof to cook your meals. It's a good time to start learning, you know? Start small, one meal at a time. In the kingdom, you've inherited responsibility because you've inherited things of value and you're called to steward those things. Are you with me? It's a privilege. It's not a duty. When you realize these things of value have been given to you, have been given to me, wow. Actually, perhaps a desire will begin to rise up and say, I want to steward these things well. I want to steward the kingdom that you've given me, that you've entrusted me. Do you hear the voice of God saying, I've trusted you with things that are valuable, things that are eternal. I've entrusted you with a new way of seeing, a new way of living in light of what you've received, in light of what I've done on your behalf. I want to take a look at something that I think will illustrate this a little bit for us. You guys know I teach a drawing class. Some of you don't know that. I teach a drawing class one night a week at Micah. It's awesome. I love it. These drawings are not from my class, by the way. There's a book out there. It's called Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain. Anybody ever heard of it? A couple of you art school kids? No? Really? Okay. Well, if you're in my class, you would have heard of it by now. It's a book called Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain. And one of the things so amazing about this book is it's not about teaching people to draw. It's about teaching people to see. It's about teaching people to understand what actually is reality and actually processing. You process that first in your brain. We're getting deep here. I know. You process that first in your brain. So these are some examples of self-portraits. And the one on the left, if you can guess, came first. And the one on the right, after a few days and some time in this course, and a reshaping of understanding and of thinking, is the same person's drawing after a short amount of time. Pretty impressive, huh? Some of you are like, I got to get that book. It's called Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain. We have a few more of those. Another example. Another example. Look, man, how about that one? Look, he even did the grid and everything on the first one to try and help him out. The nose goes in the middle, eyes about an inch above. Okay. One more. That one's a little hard to see. Pretty impressive. This whole thing is about learning to see what's actually there. It's about learning to see what's right in front of you and letting your mind actually be renewed to see what's actually there and let that be your reality. Are you following me? I'm going to bring this back to what we're talking about. So the thing isn't learning how to draw well, it's actually learning how to see. It's learning how to actually see what is real, so that you can record it, so that you can capture it, so that you can process it. And actually, Jesus says that's our responsibility in the kingdom of God, is to actually begin to see what is his reality. You have been tasked with seeing God's reality. And as you understand it, to see it come here. Did you know you can know the will of God? Again, going back to that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come and your will be done, they're attached. If you want to know, if you want to bring the usher in the kingdom of God, you need to know what God's will is. You need to know what his desire is. You need to know what he wants to see happen here as it is in heaven. That's possible. Otherwise, why would Jesus teach us to pray that way? It's possible. You can know the will of God as you begin to see what the kingdom is like and live it out, okay? I want to go back to this passage for a minute, all right? James 2 is a really good example of this, okay? I want to talk concretely because maybe we're in the clouds still right now. I want to bring what we're talking about from heaven to earth for us, okay? This is a really good example, all right? And I want to talk about three things that are a part of kingdom reality that God is calling us to live out. Things that can be so clear and so understood in terms of our ability to be resolute that this is the way that God desires things to be, okay? One of those things is in this passage. He's talking to this group of people. He's talking to the family of God about how they ought to live in light of this new inheritance. He's saying you received something from God, and because you've received something, you have a responsibility to steward it so that your life reflects the truth of what you've received. We all have that responsibility. It's not enough for us to receive it in our head and it not translate into our life. If that happens, there's a disconnect. And God's saying it hasn't become your reality yet. He wants it so that when we look at the world around it, we see it the way he sees it. This is what happened in this passage. He's talking to them about their meetings. And he's saying, you know, some of you have come into this meeting and you've begun to give preferential treatment to some people over others. You've begun to identify the people that you think are important and thus identify the ones that you don't think are very important. And you've begun to kind of schmooze with those that you think you can get something from, and you've neglected those that you don't think have anything to offer. And he says, I want you to understand, this isn't what you've inherited. This is not the way that you're called to live in light of what you've received. And so he's calling them back to the truth of what they've received. And he's saying, you've received something completely different than what you're giving. What we've been called to in this inheritance is we've been called to give what we've received. That's all God calls us to. He calls us to give what we've received. Are you with me? And so in this passage, he says that God has chosen those who didn't have anything to offer to receive his riches. That's the gospel. And let me tell you this, we all fit in that category. If you have been called into the family of God, if you've been chosen, if you've been adopted to be a son and a daughter in his family, it's not because you had something to offer. It's because out of his goodness and his love, he said, I choose you because I love you and I want you to experience this. Are you with me? Do you believe that? Okay, that's the place we entered into the family of God. So in order for that to happen, what did we receive? We received so much more than we deserved, didn't we? We received riches when we were poor. We received love instead of judgment. Mercy instead of judgment. Love instead of hatred. It says that we were objects of his wrath, and by very nature we were opposed to God, and yet God in his kindness, he called us to himself still. That's the truth for everyone in that church, and that's the truth for everyone in this church. And all that he's saying here is he's saying, I'm calling you to the truth of giving what you've received. Living out the truth, therefore living out the truth of your inheritance. You with me? So, that means that we need an understanding of what we've received. And then we need an understanding of how amazing that is and how it's not just for us. You know, because sometimes we come in and we say, yes, God, thank you so much. And then we turn around and we forget the very thing that he's given us is the very thing that we're called to give everyone else. And that's where it gets hard, isn't it? Are you with me? You guys following me? Okay, so in this passage, what he says in the end, in verse 12, he says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. He's declaring a truth of the kingdom. He says, mercy triumphs over judgment. And that's what you've received. And the inheritance that you've received is the very thing that you're called to give away. Can you get amen? That's the gospel. We give away what we've received. I want to share a story about this, and I want to call us to a few other things. I said there was three things. One is mercy, okay? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. That's one simple way of understanding mercy. Not getting what you deserve, okay? Mercy. I want to share this story. Some of you guys know we have a home business. We sell on eBay, and this was, I remember, actually, for quite a while, that home business, especially the customer service side of things, has been a great opportunity to share the good news of Jesus, but a very difficult one. Are you with me? See, some of the things in our lives that we're wishing weren't there, that we're trying to pray away, the difficulties, the annoyances, the names attached to those things, the people attached to those things, God is saying, actually, those are opportunities for you to give away the inheritance that you've received. Crickets. I'm encouraging you. Be encouraged, okay? So, we have this store, and the customer service side, if you can imagine, isn't always fun. And there was this one particular moment, all right? We had been on this streak of positive feedback, 100%, for I think the first 2.5 years. I was really proud of that streak. Well, one day it came to an end because someone gave us a negative feedback over something that I was completely surprised by. And naturally, I got upset. I got offended. I was like, no, you don't. And so I reached out to this guy thinking, you know, my politeness could win him over. Well, it didn't work. Somehow did not get through the screen. I'm trying to be polite to you. And granted, I had an agenda, okay? Well, he didn't remove his review. In fact, the things that, I take that back. Okay, so then I went on to say some things that weren't so polite, because if the politeness doesn't get through, well, then you're just going to hear me really speak my mind, okay? And some things came out that shouldn't have come out. And if you can imagine, that just was a snowball effect, you know? He comes back at me, and now I'm, like, getting ready to write the fourth email that's going to be 5 pages, and I think, you know, this has got to stop somewhere. So I walked away. You know, I was like, Jesus, I'm done with that. Well, I wasn't done with it, because in my heart, there were still some problems, okay? You know, and the Lord, in his kindness and his mercy and his patience, he let like 2 months go by. And then eventually he says, I'm driving home one day. And it was in the middle of this time where God was just showing me really tangibly, this is what my grace looks like. This is what my love looks like. This is what you've received. And I'm driving home one day just enjoying the reality of that. And God says, hey, remember that email? And I said, yeah, I remember that email. I'm still waiting for the guy to, you know, say something nice to me. He says, well, you can't do anything about that, but you know what you can do, and you know what you need to do? You need to ask for forgiveness. I was like, well, I don't want to do that, God. He probably doesn't even know what that means. I said, wow, really? You want me to go back 2 months and talk to this guy? And he said, yes. And what he told me is, he said, because you've received something that you don't know if he's received, but you definitely have. You've received my grace. And so you're not called to act like that anymore. The old way you used to act, you don't act like that anymore, because you've received an inheritance, and the inheritance is what you're supposed to give away. You've received my grace, so you're supposed to give it away. And I said, God, well, what does that look like? Well, he said, first you need to forgive him, and you need to ask him for forgiveness. Okay, so that's mercy. That's a good one. Grace, forgiveness, okay? Those are the three that I'm talking about today. Little slices of the inheritance. Everybody in this room, through Jesus, you've received mercy, you've received grace, you've received forgiveness. It is an amen. It is worth amening. Okay, so I get home, and I said, okay, I'm going to write him an email. I'm going to tell him I'm sorry. And I'm going to tell him why I'm sorry. And I thought I'd be done there. So I write him in this email, said, I'm sorry. You know, I know who Jesus is. I didn't say it like that. I just said, I've received grace in my life, and I've been called to give that. And I didn't show that to you in this moment. I don't even know if he knows what that means, but I'm guessing he starts to get the picture, right? And so I said, I'm sorry. And I'm asking for forgiveness, if you will, okay? And the Lord said, I want you to do one more thing. I want you to show him what grace looks like. I said, well, how would I do that? He said, I want you to refund him his money for the shirt that you never got back because of the bad review he left you. Double. That's grace, people. And in that moment, I'm like, is that really necessary, God? And he says, I don't just do necessary. I do abundance. All right? And I'm like, I'm seeing it really clear, Jesus. I'm seeing it really clear. But you're going to have to explain this one to my wife. So you know what happened? I sent him the email, and then I sent him the refund twice over. And it was the most freeing thing for me. I was having a little worship session in my room for good reason. I was so free. And in that moment, it was like God deposited the truth again of what I had received. So there's something about when we give it away that we actually get it back. Yeah. You know, and that's not why we're giving, but hey, a bonus, a surprise. When you live this out, you will experience the power of it again. I explained it to Maria. Big surprise, she understood. She was like, well, was it really necessary to give a double? I was like, no, it wasn't necessary, but that's what grace is like. And she's like, you're a pastor, aren't you? I never heard from him, but you know what? It didn't matter. It didn't matter. Okay, guys, grace. Let's start from the beginning. Forgiveness, mercy, grace. The blood of Jesus has brought forgiveness. That's part of your inheritance. Jesus, because of what he took on your behalf, you got the mercy of God. Rather than the judgment of God. And if you haven't received that yet, it's available today. And then his grace. We sang about living in the reign of his grace. That's the season we're in. That's the era that we're in. That's the kingdom that we're in. The kingdom of his grace. And we get to give those things away. So I'm just going to pray that the things in our lives that seem like difficulties, that seem like annoyances, that we would see them from that reality of what we received, and we would see them as opportunities to give away what we've been given. Let's pray. Let's pray that.